Good morning. Merry Christmas. So I'm going to ask everybody to do something that might be a little uncomfortable, but we're just a few of us here right now, so I'd like us to stand up and move a little forward so we can all be cozy together on Christmas morning. And as you do it, please greet your neighbor and wish everybody a Merry Christmas. That's better. Now we can keep each other warm, even though it's not so cold outside. So can we all stand and let's turn in the blue hymnal to, sorry, I know you just sat down, but I'll ask you to stand again and turn to number 201, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we'll sing all three verses. And if you could just keep your blue hymnals out, but you may sit down now. Yes, I won't make you walk around anymore. And we'll turn to number 665 and do a call to worship together. Glory to God in the highest.
And peace to all people on earth.
Today a Savior is born to us, Christ the Lord. Let all the earth rejoice in God's great gift.
Our faithful volunteer choir will be changing some of the songs today. So would you please join us in singing number 318, Joy to the World? You may remain seated.
Thank you.
To welcome you all here once again this morning. Are there any guests that need to be introduced? Oh, yes. And, sorry, Dolores and Bill, welcome here. Yes, you live in our old church, right? That's right. Well, we're glad to have you here this morning. That's wonderful. Oh. Oh, nice to see you here as well. There are no other guests to be introduced. Well, we welcome everyone here. And let's pray. Savior of the earth's children, you came as a little child to lead us to wisdom and love. When you grew up, you welcomed the children and told us the kingdom belongs to them. Call us to a child's tenderness, humility, energy, and love. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now let's turn in the black hymnal, the German one, to number 55, O du Fröhliche. Usually all these books are on the, up here already. And let's sing them all. It's a short song. So we'll sing all the songs, all the verses.
People who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end.
Emmanuel, come Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 24. This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone, so he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then, after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." After Joseph awoke, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do.
You turn in the blue hymnal to number 197, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Angels we have heard on high.
Angels we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night, on the mountains in the night, echoing the great delight.
And from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. God sent the angel Gabriel with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph. The angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you." Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. Then the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid. God is pleased with you, and you will have a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the God Most High. The Lord God will make him king, as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm not married." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come down to you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." And the angel left her.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The praises of the Lord.
Sorry.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. About that time, Emperor Augustus gave orders for the names of all the people to be listed in record books. Everyone had to go to their own hometown to be listed. So Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from King David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and traveled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby, and while they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay, because there was no room for them in the inn.
How far is it to Bethlehem? Not very far. Shall we find the stable lit by a star? Can we see the little child? Is he within? If we lift the wooden latch, may we go in? May we stroke the creatures that once loved us?
Thank you. Astrid. We're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to watch something on the giant TV. Good morning. Jacob is very excited he got some hockey players in his stocking this morning. Right, buddy? Yeah. And Astrid's teasing him by not letting him have the ball when he wants it. I hear a lot of things. Astrid got a book, though. I'm very excited. Books are my favorite present ever. Okay, good morning. I have a little tiny thing here. Can you see what it is? It's a candy cane. And I used to think a candy cane was just a candy. But it isn't. It's a special Christmas candy. And there's lots of symbols or ideas that are in the candy cane. So, for example, when you put it this way, upside down, do you know what letter that is? I'm a reading teacher. Tell me what letter it is. It's a J. Oh, I'm sorry. I was holding it backwards. Awesome, Astrid. You're a good reader. It's a J. Yes, just like your stick. Right. And the J stands for Jesus. Never knew that before. And when you flip it up the other way, it kind of looks like a shepherd's staff. And the colors are also, the red is to remind us of the blood on the cross that Jesus died for us to save us from our sins. And the white is that he didn't have any sin, and white is clean and pure. And this candy cane also has some green, and I'm just going to go off script a little bit and say that's like life and the way we live. So when you are eating a candy cane at Christmas time, you can think about all those things and how they connect to our very best story ever told. And I think Bill and Dolores have a present for you guys. Dolores is coming up to give you a present on Christmas. Does that ever happen? Hi, Dolores. Nope. We dropped the hockey player. Thank you very much, Dolores. Merry Christmas. Now, in a little while, we're going to push the magic button upstairs, and there's going to be a video on the screen. And someone sent this to me a couple weeks ago. It's kids in New Zealand telling the Christmas story. And I thought it was pretty special because it reminded me that all over the world, people tell this story the same as we did last night. And I thought maybe kids would like to see someone else acting out the story, because we, of course, always make you do it for us. So you can watch some kids in New Zealand tell the greatest story ever told, one we've all heard hundreds of times, and every time we hear it or see it played out, we're reminded of how special it is. So, Mr. Peters, come sit and watch the TV now.
Mary was really scared when the angel came to her. There was one main angel called Gabriel. He was just a boy angel.
She had wings and she was all white.
The angel said, "You're gonna have a special baby."
And it was God's son.
She was quite excited.
A bit scared.
And she was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have the son of God." And then she was like, "I can't, I'm not married and stuff."
Joseph, he was a builder. Mary told Joseph that she was having a baby called Jesus, and it was God's son.
He's like, "What?"
Then Joseph saw the angel in a dream.
I think Joseph was really scared. And then they went to Bethlehem.
On a donkey.
It'd be quite hot.
She had a baby in her tummy, and she would have been really heavy.
She said,
"Can we stop anywhere with these houses?"
They had to try and find somewhere for Mary to have the baby.
They went around a whole neighbourhood.
No, there's no space.
Everyone said no in an angry voice because it was the middle of the night.
The last innkeeper,
he said, "Yeah, there's a barn type thing around the back."
They had to go to a barn and have their baby.
It had sheets.
It was like all hay and animal poop and sheep and things.
Mary put baby Jesus in one of those troughs.
They call the baby Jesus and they loved him. And he has two daddies, God and Jesus. They both needed to look after the baby. The angel told the shepherds to follow the star.
There was three kings. They followed the star all the way to where Jesus was born.
When they get to the stable, they give them Jesus the present.
And then they got some angels as visitors too. And then there was a giant star. Everyone was there.
Then there was a party.
That's a wonderful little picture of the story told by children. I love how that one little voice says, they named him Jesus and they loved him. Can you turn with me in the blue hymnal to number 190? 'Twas in the moon of winter time, and we will sing all four verses.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. That night, in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened. But the angel said, Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is, because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying on a bed of hay. Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. They said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on a bed of hay. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised. But Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Shepherds kept their watching, a silent flocks by night.
Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is this child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was worried. And so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod brought together the chief priests and teachers of the law of Moses and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" They told him, "He will be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet wrote." The wise men listened to what the king said and then left. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him. Let's turn in our blue hymnals to song 199. And we will start with verse 3, and we will sing 3, 4, and 5.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 22, verses 12 to 14, 17 and 20. May kindness and peace be yours from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus was the first to conquer death, and he is the ruler of all earthly kings. Christ loves us, and by his blood he set us free from our sins. Look, I am going soon. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God will bless all who have washed their robes. They will each have the right to eat fruit from the tree that gives life, and they can enter the gates of the city. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Everyone who hears this should say, Come. If you are thirsty, come. If you want life-giving water, come and take it. It's free. The one who has spoken these things says, I am coming soon. So, Lord Jesus, please come soon.
When I grew up, I always loved Advent. There's a sense of excitement in the air. But the truth of the matter is that I always wished it would be new Christmas Eve and never Christmas. Because on Christmas Day, you open your gifts and it's over. And all the amazing songs we've been singing for the last month are done, and all the Christmas presents under the tree have been reduced to empty boxes and crumpled up wrapping paper, and all the amazing food that you weren't allowed to touch until the last couple of days, you've eaten and you're full, and it's gone. And it just seems like life's like it was before. Christmas almost seemed like an Advil that you take, and it makes all the problems go away for a little while, and then they come back. And it feels a little bit like that with our world and with our lives. We forgot about all the problems we have because Christmas was so exciting, and we forgot about our relationship problems and our financial problems and our miserable relatives and all the other things that we struggle with in our life. They went away. And after Christmas, they're back. And it's a little bit like that with our world too. Before Christmas, when you watch the news, we have these wonderful stories of people collecting money to buy hampers for the poor, and they have some feel-good stories that are going on around the world. And you know, in a couple of days, you turn the news on, and it's back to hungry people and problems and war and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying, right? And it just felt anticlimactic. It just felt like, we're back here. Well, I'm a slow learner. I know that. But it finally dawned on me, Christmas isn't about an event. Christmas isn't about something that happened 2,000 years ago, and every year we wind up the story again, as cool as the story is. Christmas is the beginning of something. Christmas is a story that says, okay, now there's something that's going to change the rest of your life. And it's about Jesus coming. We read the Christmas story today from Matthew and Luke, as we always do. But John has the Christmas story too. One verse. You all know the story. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever, anybody, believes in him, they'll have life eternally. There's the Christmas story. And so the Christmas story, if it doesn't move, if there's not a path from the manger to the cross, it doesn't make sense. It's just disappointing. If the manger, the baby in the manger, doesn't land up being the man on the cross, none of it makes any sense. A lady called Anne Weems wrote a book called Kneeling in the Manger, Kneeling in Bethlehem, actually. We'll keep her out of the manger. And she has a poem in there called From the Manger to the Cross. I'd like to read it. It's a beautiful poem. If there is no cross in the manger, there's no Christmas. If the babe doesn't become the adult, there's no Bethlehem star. If there's no commitment in us, there are no wise men searching. If we offer no cup of cold water, there's no gold, no frankincense, no myrrh. If there's no praising God's name, there's no angel singing. If there's no spirit of alleluia, there are no shepherds watching. If there's no standing up, no speaking out, no risk, there is no Herod, no flight into Egypt. If there's no room in our inn, then Merry Christmas mocks the Christ child, and the Holy Family is just a holiday card, and God will loathe their feasts and festivals. If there's no forgiveness in us, there's no cause for celebration. If Christmas is not now, if Christ is not born into the everyday present, then what's all the noise about? Isn't that amazing? We have been talking throughout Advent about waiting for Christmas. What we have been waiting for has come, and the waiting has just begun. What we have been waiting for leaves everything the same, and changes everything. Like the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, everything's the same and nothing is the same. Like falling in love. When you fall in love with something, the world doesn't change. No, oh, yes, it does. Everything changes. And that's what the story of Christmas is all about. So we wake up on Christmas morning and the world looks the same, but not for us. Because the babe in the manger has come to impact our lives. And the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that we've been talking about have become part of our lives. And God begins to change the world through us. Merry Christmas. The change has begun. And we look forward to God continuing to change the world through us. And one day, coming again to change everything. Merry Christmas.
Let's turn once again in the blue hymnal to number 195. And we will sing verses 1, 2, and 5. Sure, let's stand.
Touch the hopes of gold. Changes your life and a peace that God can use to change the world through you. Merry Christmas. May you enjoy Christmas, which never ends.
And now, as is our tradition, we'd like to sing Der Friedensfürst, and we'd like to invite anyone who wants to come up and join the choir. I'm especially looking at the men. I think the basses might need some help. So if anyone would like to do that, please come up now and join the choir. The words are also printed in the bulletin, and we would ask the congregation to join us on the repeats.
We have extras up here. Extra. So anybody come and join us, please do. If you never have sung this in the choir, now is your chance. We repeat everything so you get it the second time. So the choir will, you know the song, it has repeats about everything. So the choir will sing it through once, and then you join us in the repeat.
Thank you. Thank you.